Very good morning. And we will dwell in the silence for a moment while we seek that individual realization that what I see is not, what I hear is not, what I touch is not, whatever I sense is not. For what is always invisible. There is nothing visible in this world that will not decay. It is our function to lift ourselves above this world into the changeless, perfect, forever universe of God. What we should carry into today is the knowledge that the invisible universe is real. But we should have an understanding of why the visible universe is here. To call it unreal is true. But it's a reflection right back to the Christ, and from it, Christ knows where the human race stands, where each individual stands. It is our function to transform the world. Each individual has that function. It is our function to clear the cobwebs of imperfection that appear to us, that light may come through, and in taking on a healing ministry, even though you're individuals without a pulpit, is to take on God's work, because the Father says, be ye perfect, and this is echoed in your heart, and each individual has the job of clarifying that perfection and maintaining it. Every individual we face will not know about our mission. He will believe that he is sick. He's nothing of the sort. But he believes he is. He's unaware of the invisible Christ of his own being. We, either partly aware or fully aware, are aware that what ails him is an illusion. Only Christ stands there. And that becomes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we look at things. While you're looking at me and I'm looking at you, we should be thinking. Christ stands there. Until we can someday get past that thought even, and know Christ stands there, and get past that thought, and see ourselves as the one Christ standing everywhere. Let's hold on to that, because we must build a relationship with everyone we are called upon to heal, which is built before we meet them. We're not going to wait until they call us and then go through the steps. The steps will all be amalgamated into our individuality. We'll know every time who's calling us and why. This individual is the invisible Christ thinking he's a visible person. If he would just know he's the invisible Christ, he wouldn't have to call me. But he doesn't know it. He is asleep to Christ. And you have a world that is asleep to Christ. Even while mouthing the phrase, when you, knowing the truth, you look right past the human being who's telling you his sorrows, his conflicts, his pains, and it's difficult to say to yourself, there's nothing there but the Christ, but it won't be that way for you tomorrow. Because you're going to practice until you know it's true. And you've got all the biblical backup you need for it. You can't go on a page of the Bible without finding out that there's something going on there that is not meeting the eye. Why, even this prophet was brought here for a purpose, always to reveal that this is a perfect universe and that we are seeing it wrongly. Paul called it a glass darkly. It doesn't matter what you call it. Just as long as you can see with your inner eye the perfection behind the visible veil. Now, when we have a knowledge that mortality is part of the visible veil, we can understand then why we're to shuffle off mortality while the immortal self is the reality of everyone in the world. Everywhere you're looking at immortality and you're seeing mortality. You're looking at perfection and you're seeing some good and some bad. You're looking at the Spirit of God and you're saying this one is a thief and this one is a robber and this one is a politician. But you're not seeing what you're labeling it. Not even once. Because you're not equipped with the five senses to see it. And therefore your function in this plane of existence is to develop your spiritual consciousness. Because the next phase of existence for us is the soul level. We've got to start seeing with our soul. People have seen in this world with their souls, and they have seen God's handiwork, and therefore we know that if all belongs to us that is God's, there's going to come a place and a time when we can see too, when the inner eye is open. When we can think past the brain, when we can think God's thought, when we are taught by God. Now, why would God say that ye shall all be taught by God? Because there is in us the capacity to be taught by God. And it's your soul. It comes into the influence of the Christ, who is always present everywhere, and as the government of God through Christ takes over your being, this is the washing that you must go through to reveal your true self to you. And so when we become aware of the general plan that we're here now, that the Christ must take over and govern us, but that we are the Christ, we see that there is an invisible universe of God and an invisible Christ, and there are, pardon the expression, robots living in this universe of Christ who are passing through, and each must be wiped clean of all illusion. It's a plan you wouldn't expect the world to know, and that's why it's so difficult to explain it to the world. You can't take away a person's mortality unless you've got something to give him. And you can't explain mortality in any other terms than itself, because the flesh is thought of as God's endowment to man. You can't explain immortality to the flesh. And so the flesh never gets outside of itself. It's always sleeping. It's always unaware of the Christ, except as an external Christ. And that's the way the world has been going since you and I can remember. The good people of religion see an external God and an external Christ and an external everything, not aware that the perfection of God is on earth where they're seeing the imperfection in their unawareness, in their sleeping. They can be untrue to Christ, unfaithful to Christ. Now, there won't be many who can join you, but there'll be a little X over their door . I think Revelation says about 144,000, in a symbol, of course. We are the 144,000, all on the earth, who are aware of the Christ presence in themselves. Now, let's be sure that we know what the Christ presence in ourselves is about, and that its function is to shatter that glass darkly. Its function is to take us out of the dream. Its function is to open our inner self to our Christ self. And if you find you're beginning to know this well, there's an instant recognition of someone who also knows it well, so that the union within makes possible your union without. Christ within becomes Christ without. When I say Christ without, the manifestation of it becomes part of your being. You feel an automatic friendliness with someone who's in Christ. You feel somehow that you can trust this individual. And then you begin to feel your own Christhood, and you feel the miracle of it. You feel a divine plan working. And one day it's clarified for you. Everyone on the earth has the same opportunity I have to be Christed, to thin out the veil of mortality, to thin out the veil of flesh. Then somewhere in the background you say, oh yes, I was told that, wasn't I? Henceforth know ye no man after the flesh. And now you're doing it. You're doing it because the man next to you appears as flesh, but he is not. If you take away the flesh, there will be an invisible something there that you cannot see, beaming its love upon you. Everywhere you go, that invisible someone will be there. Because you carry it with you. Wherever you go, you carry this invisible someone. More accurately, the someone is carrying you. Now start to transfer your feeling of yourself. This is actually what you're going to do in order to ascend. The illusion of mortality. Become aware that your sleeping days are over. You're beginning to open your eyes to the withinness and the life and the reality of it. Now, everyone you're called upon to heal, when seen this way, will come to you as a person who only thinks there is something wrong, and will be coming to the Christ of you, which knows nothing is wrong. They buried my father yesterday. My son was taken to a hospital. My other son was killed in the war, and on and on and on. Not in God's universe, it didn't happen. And God's universe is the only universe there is. You've been looking through a glass darkly. You have been grieving through a glass darkly. You have been fearing through a glass darkly. When you awake, you find, just as Job did, everything is perfect. Cattle, family, everything just right, better than ever. His spiritual awakening changed his inner vision to see the truth, whereas he had been accepting the lie. Can you accept that you have no parents? That everything you have everything, without exception, is going to fade and die because you don't have it. You only think you have it. You're not going to lose anything that you really have. You're only going to lose what we borrow from the illusion world. And I think we had better learn how that illusion world works, because it's an illusion on an illusion on an illusion. And if you don't trace it through and understand it, or some semblance of understanding, you go right out grasping for it. You want more of that illusion. You have a world mind, and there it shines. And then you have an individual mind. The world mind casts an illusion, the individual mind picks it up and does something with it. And then you have a human race, and that's another illusion. The whole thing is an illusion, a masquerade. And one illusion looks at another illusion, and illusions think reality is everything they're looking at. So this illusion says, I'm well, but my sister is sick. Or I'm well, but my father has just died. You were told specifically you have no father but one. And that was no game. That was no pretense. That wasn't symbolic. It's the God's honest truth. Now, when you go to a patient, and let's hope you have a lot of patients, it doesn't matter what they have. From the most critical to the cold or the little simple problems of a cut or whatever, to the most critical, an illusion is always an illusion. And one can be appear to be severe, one can be appear to be not severe, but it's still an illusion. Of course, an illusion of a world war will seem like the end of the world, and you'll fall for it. But an end of the world wouldn't be too bad if it would be the beginning of the reality. So we learn not to grieve, not to fear, and it may take you 25 years before you'll actually believe that there's nothing to grieve for. Because what you're grieving for isn't there. You can't grieve for an illusion unless you think it's a reality. So when you accept the illusion of death, you think someone has died. But God doesn't kill. God doesn't have a world in which killing is possible. It's part of the fourth world appearance. And you are not in the fourth world. Your image is. You can't be anywhere but in heaven. You can't be the child of God not in heaven. So you're looking at an image in the fourth world, thinking you're it, while you're in the seventh world, which is the only world there is. The reality that you live in is called a kingdom or heaven. When you're told it's at hand, it is at hand. It's that simple. Let's transfer out of this image world for a moment. You're going to come back into it just by walking and talking. Well, let's know for one moment that the reality of us is here in heaven now. We who are going to be ambassadors for God must know the reality. And you'll find that every time you're aware that you're in the kingdom, in heaven, that you are, because of the fact that only Christ lives in the heaven, that is your name, you will find that every time you are thinking along these lines, you'll find that whatever happens to you is quickly transformed into a heavenly activity. There is no such thing as an activity on earth unless it's the earth that is God's, the invisible earth, the spiritual earth. Your little switch button should be handy to switch off from one to the other as quickly as you realize you've strayed back onto a make-believe universe. When you get planted in your real universe and you're aware of it, you'll feel the miracle of everything transforming what you had thought of as the earth, as the place where you had been living. It looks the same, but coming through it is the transforming Christ. No matter what station you have in life, you're translated into the Son of God. And you'll continue on the earth until you perfect this understanding of the kingdom of God on earth. You'll continue to work in the same job, see the same people, but there'll be something about you that's different. And that difference will be, you are awake. You are awake to Christ, and Christ awakens to the universe of God without a flaw, which has never changed since before the beginning of time. No matter what happens in this world, the Christ of you is changeless, and ultimately there's no anyone but the Christ of you. We have a glorious, quote, future. The Father has told us to be perfect. And He's not waiting for us to be. We are. We simply have to know who we are. Now let's try to live in our kingdom. And let's not be tempted by the so-called evils of the world or the perils of the world. Let's resist not evil. Because why should we resist that which doesn't exist? The resistance gives it a sense of existence. The minute we grieve or fear, we're only grieving or fearing because we think this dire tragedy occurred. But there's no dire tragedy in God's universe. So we must be living in a world which is not my Father's kingdom. Well, we don't want to live in the world. Now we start not identifying these problems. And we practice not identifying these problems, and we come to people who are knee-deep in problems, who are asking us to heal them. Well, how do we heal them? We don't go and change their problems, because they have no problems. They only think they have. They're using that mind, which is an automatic translator of everything into the non-Christ world. We make no concessions to it. We simply recognize it for what it is, and what it has created for what it is not, because it has no power to create anything. It's blowing soap bubbles all around us. These soap bubbles have got a name. Armageddon, war, annihilation, cremation, funny words. They all take on a hollow ring. When two people can meet each other and see, without even taking thought, that each is living out of the Christ light, then you have the power that can finally say, I have overcome this world. And I know that some of us have the confidence that we can do it, and others are lagging. They haven't enough experience with it to feel that it's attainable. But that's today. One moment, a light opens up. And you see that the greatest dreams you ever had were nothing compared to the truth. The truth of God, divine truth, what can have power against it? Can only pretend to have power, because there's nothing there. Divine truth isn't sharing any position with any other kind of watered down, adulterated sense of truth. Right where anything appears that is false, the truth is. The truth is that we are perfect, but it will take time to realize it. We will appear to be sick, and it will take time to realize that. But it won't take time to realize it unless you start realizing it. Then it'll take less time. And finally, time itself will be shown as part of the illusion. Now I'd like you to meditate, please, because we want to meditate for the people we're going to meet in our work, the people who are going to declare to us that we are sick. Let's make sure that when they declare we are sick, we are prepared for them. And that when they declare we are sick, there's an answering voice in us saying, no. There's no one there to be sick. A phantom. The one who declares he is sick, can he be there if everyone is perfect? That is how we can meet those who tell us we have to help them attain a higher degree of freedom, perfection, mobility, pick up thy bed and walk was the sign. You only think there is something wrong with you, and you're so completely hypnotized that the world can't reach through that hypnosis. But he could have said, you only think you're a human, but you're not. And we can think to ourselves, I only think I'm a human, but I'm not. Certainly I can't be what God says I'm not. God says I'm not a human. But I've been saying I am so. God doesn't seem to know anything about who I am if he thinks I'm a human. I'm not a human. I'm very human. I do all the things that humans do. And that's what's wrong with me. God says I am not a human. God says you are not a human. Where does God say that? When God told you, you are my son, he was telling you, you're not human. Can immortality have a mortal son? Is there a mortal who would say he is perfect or can be perfect and then go and die? God was telling us, you are my son, you're not mortal, you're not what you think. And the world has kept on insisting we certainly are mortal. And the world has suffered for it. It's gone through the millionth illusion. It lives a false life in a dream world that God says has no existence. Well, we will right all that. We'll start living in our kingdom. And then when we hear from the patients who say, I have cancer, I have this, I have that. Well, no, it's something archaic, something from a bygone era, when there were human beings on the earth. And I'm not jesting. We've got to reach that state of awareness, of awakeness. Because the fifth world, the soul world, is a complete departure from everything we have done. Just as it was a complete departure for the world of manhood, mortality, from a previous world. Even in the fourth world where there were animals and then men appeared, where you could walk out of being a chimpanzee and in a future generation you were a man. It was a total difference between one world and the next, but it's just the same difference now. This is mortal, and the next is immortality. When we live in the soul world, it won't seem strange to you, because you won't be looking at mortal beings. You'll be looking at other individuals like yourself, but you'll be that much closer in your awareness that I am God. I'm just aware of the soul at the moment, but I'll be aware of the Spirit. I'll be aware of the Christ. And they will all amalgamate in me. And I will be a true son of God. These are not parts of my being, but they're parts that I become aware of as parts until I see the wholeness of myself. Well, I first think of myself as a soul, not as a spirit, but I am soul spirit. Then I'll see myself as the Christ, but I am soul spirit Christ now. So we act from the highest level, which is a true level, and as soul, spirit, Christ. I can't look out of human eyes because soul can see better. I can't be flesh because I am spirit. I can't be anything but, I can't think with a human brain. I am the Christ mind. And when we put them all together, the capacities of soul, spirit, and Christ, we see that they are the capacities of God, which is what the Son of God should be. And this is what we are. And when the Bible teaches us to not commit adultery, it's not referring to our relationships in the human level. It's telling us not to adulterate, not to live in the spirit, in actuality, and then to live in mortality and the flesh in our daily life, because that's the adulteration, the higher form of adultery. They're accepting a mortal, physical world. Each of the commandments, as you know, has a higher sense than the physical sense. We're told not to steal, not to rob, not things of... We're told that we are really the person we're robbing from. Christ in the, under the skin. And the human flesh is hiding it. We're told not to have a grievance against our brother. Our brother is ourself. We used to think of that as, I can understand it, but maybe someday I'll have a realization of it. There's only one being, and everyone is the same being. All the things that you don't like in your neighbor, he doesn't have those things at all. That's what you see, and that's what I see. In fact, he sees it too. That's mortal hypnosis. The truck driver and the professional man are Christ invisible. Now everybody has an immortal body, and you've got to be aware of it. An immortal body is the only body they have. They don't know it. Come fix my rib. Come fix my shoulder blade. Come fix my heart. I'm not going to stop and tell him he has an immortal body. But suppose you're faced with it. What are you going to do? The truth shall make you free, provided you know the truth. And so you start to know the truth. The man doesn't have a physical body. It doesn't sound so foolish when you're aware of the fact that it's the truth. The illusion is so great that we still believe in death and we still believe in birth. But Christ isn't born. Christ doesn't die. And you're merely saying this baby isn't Christ. This old man isn't Christ. That is total illusion. There is no birth and no death. There are no limitations on the Christ. He exists before birth. He exists after death. And you have a Jesus coming to show his existence after death. How can he exist after death? He doesn't. He didn't die. Death was the illusion. Death will be the illusion for you too. And if you can release birth as a fact and see that it never happened, all that happened was the birth of an image. And you've never had the necessity to feel or to face the fact that the image that was born was not the image and likeness of God.